We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, a.k.a. Blender Ed, Blender HD. You want to follow me on Twitter? And it's Wednesday, May 1st. Happy May Day, people. We'll be taking a look at the early 8-game MLB DFS slate on DraftKings. We got a ton of baseball today. We got an evening slate as well. We got Grinders Live later today for that slate, as well as Crunch Time. We got two Crunch Times. We got Crunch Time coming up for the early slate at 12:30 Eastern, as well as later for the other slate. So you get all your best picks, best plays, best everything from all those guys. The weather updates, which I don't think there's really going to be much today, but join with me, the man that says, why not play? You're probably going to lose anyway. It's Taylor Smith. Waking up early here in the morning, guy. It's always a treat having you here, Taylor, because you're on the West Coast, and it's like you roll right out of bed. And it's like, Oh, but we do got some day baseball.
Yeah, I'm getting my first look at it with everybody else, so maybe a little later than everybody else. But yeah, glad to be here. It's cool that it's kind of a split slate down the middle with 3 early and 7 late. Early one looks a little better, at least at the high end on the pitching side. Should be fun. Glad to be here.
Hit the thumbs up button on your way in the door, people. You know how much I like the thummy thumbs. Hit the thumbs up button, like this video, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell to always know when we go live. I got Lineup HQ brought up. I got Sim Labs brought up. I got our starting lineups page brought up. Obviously, we're going to get some more lineups coming in as the show progresses. I mean, not much right now, because especially Taylor, like day games after night games, you always get, you know, someone that, you know, catchers aren't going to. One guy's going to catch, and this guy may DH or whatever. We got the news, obviously, yesterday that Mike Trout is going to be out for a while. This slate coming up right now, I don't want to start with bats, but, I mean, you'll take a look at the totals of the games, and it doesn't inspire me much on, like, stacks, right? Like, you just look through and you go, there's only one team with higher than a 5-run total, and that's the Twins against the White Sox, and that didn't work out yesterday, so they're going to be even chalkier on this slate coming up. And then everything else. I mean, like half the teams have under a four-run total. So you would say that this is more of a pitching slate, but I don't know. I'm gonna kind of, from a macro strategy perspective, turn it on its head. I think this is you have to think of it as a hitting slate, because if there may be a lot, I mean, there may be a lot of teams that don't do much today. There may be a lot of people. We'll go through some of the pitchers. Like I mean, truthfully, I think half the pitchers are in play really to roster today in DFS on DraftKings. I don't think it's going to be that hard to get pitching points. I just think it's going to be hard to get hitting points. So if I had to have some mental energy on what I did today, it would be, instead of trying to determine, like, do I want to play Bailey Ober? Do I want to play Chris Bassett? And spending all my time on that, I think they're both fine. And then really ironing out, like, how exactly are you ordering these bats in your lineup to get some points? And this may be lineups that maybe you don't take. Maybe you don't take a five-man stack. Or maybe, hey, you take a five-man stack and that's the only team that puts up eight runs and it's well worth it. So I don't know how this is kind of a first look at the slate, how you're looking at it, because we typically start with pitching. And I don't know about you. I just feel like half the pitchers, I feel like there may be one or two like standout pitchers, but I don't think it's going to be very hard to get 40 points combined out of your two pitchers on DraftKings with most of the two pitcher combinations you could pick on this slate.
Yeah, I think this is one where you can cast a wide net on the pitching side. You know, Wheeler 11K is going to project the best, but he is 11K and he's the only guy over 10K on DK tonight or today. So he's fine. It's the Angels without Trout. Of course, it's a good matchup on the road, but Sale for 1,200 less at Seattle. Really good strikeout matchup. I think he might be kind of the SP1 if you factor in salary on this slate. But otherwise, yeah, like the cheap guys, Musgrove, you mentioned Bassett, you mentioned Ober, you know, Sandoval projects okay, more of a long-term thing. Stripling even for 6-2 against the Pirates at home is going to be pretty interesting if you want to pay up for bats, Atlanta, Philadelphia, a team like that. I guess Minnesota is the chalk, though. It is a good matchup against Flexen, but that's not the most comfortable chalk. They are pretty platoon heavy and not afraid to pinch hit for guys pretty early in games. So you could be looking at some pretty fragile stuff there as far as popular bats. Yeah, I mean, they're the team that stands out the most on the hitting side, but I don't really feel a lot of conviction for them over Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, for example. Another one that looks decent enough against Colin Ray on the road. Yeah, I feel a lot more confident in the pitching than the hitting. Like, there's nothing really on the hitting side that I feel early on very compelled to go way over the field on.
Right, and even some of these other pitchers, like Zach Eflin, I think is probably a little overpriced at 8,500, but I think that could be fine. Quinn Priester against Oakland. I mean, any team against Oakland, I don't think he's a quality pitcher. I mean, some of these guys don't have the longest of leashes. Like, I'm much more inclined to, you know, I'll play Patrick Sandoval because I think he's more likely to go six innings, six and a half if he's pitching well. Then kind of these guys that have, like, you know, like Colin Ray. I mean, he Miles Mikolas at 6,500 against Detroit. I mean, why not play pitchers against Detroit? Mm-hmm. I mean, do I think that there are eight better pitchers than Mikolas? Yes. But that's how, like, kind of deep the pitching is on this slate. And I'm also not, like, scared of any of these pitchers necessarily. Like, I mean, maybe Wheeler and Sale, less inclined to play like the Mariners or the Angels, like against them on an eight game slate for pretty much the dynamic that I don't think that's going to be that much offense today in general. getting a guy, you know, if Chris Sale does poorly and gives up four runs, he does poorly for your pitching slot, but he doesn't do like the Mariners. It's not like you need the Mariners because they, you know, he gave up a 3-run home run or something like that. And that's, he walked three guys. That's not going to matter that much. But to me, the only two that I'd be, I mean, of course, the two most popular, I mean, the highest owned pitchers, right? Wheeler and Sale. I like these types of slates for if I'm not going to go whole hog into the Twins or something like that, I don't mind making some lineups that, you know, if people are going to play Joe Musgrove enough, playing the Reds, if people are going to play Bailey Ober enough, I'll play some White Sox, maybe not five of them, right? But I could take one or two of them. To me, the interesting team on the slate, and I know, most people are used to going with pitching first, but we kind of like, all these guys are good. All these guys are fun.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like wanting to play the Cardinals today against Maeda.
Yeah, I feel like last week we had this similar segment where we were both kind of on the Blue Jays and we didn't really want to be, and that's just kind of the way the slate went. I do think the Cardinals are pretty interesting today. A lot of lefties in the lineup against Maeda. Not a great strikeout pitcher against lefties. Overall, not a great pitcher against lefties. 1, 2, 3. They have 5 in the projected lineup here that I see. Yeah, and I don't think the ownership's really going to be there. They're all under 10% on DK as of now that I see. And it's a good mix of value hitters and expensive bats. I do think like Arenado and Goldschmidt are probably overpriced for who they are at this point. But the nature of the slate makes it pretty easy to pay up for them. Just go down at pitching. With one of your pitching slots, at least, you can afford Contreras and the whole gang. So they are one of my higher owned stacks at the moment. Maeda just doesn't really strike a lot of fear into me right now.
And also to put things into perspective, the Cardinals have the third highest team total in the entire slate. Right? You got this is that type of slate it is, because you got the Twins, obviously, then the Phillies at 4.68, and then the Cardinals at 4.5. The Tigers also have a decent team total also. I mean, they're on the other side of there with 4.5 as well. I don't know how many people are playing the Tigers today against Mikolas. And Mikolas is typically not the type of pitcher I enjoy picking on with a stack. Because he's just one of those. I mean, I think we talked about it last week with like Wade Miley or the week before. Like these guys where, yeah, you're right, probably doesn't strike out that many. Right, but typically doesn't just get blown up. Like you don't see like 12 yeah. runs coming in, and it's the Tigers. So like it's not even like a good team. So I don't want these nickel and dime. Like, oh yeah, Mikolas gets hit for, you know, he gives up 5 earned runs, and on 8 hits, and you're looking and it's like everyone has singles and RBIs and sac flies, and you're just like, oh okay, I didn't really need the Tigers today. I think it's much more likely Maeda could get killed in 2 innings with power.
Right.
And Mikolas getting killed, you know, in 2 innings on like 14 hits or something, you know, some type of outcome like that. Because the Tigers, I mean, truthfully, they just strike out too much. Even from Mikolas's, you know, poor strikeout rate, it makes a case for playing Mikolas as a cheap pitcher, but I think I'd much rather play Stripling in that range anyway.
Agreed.
But yeah, I mean, looking at the slate, the Blue Jays again. We can go back to the Blue Jays against Seth Lugo. I mean,
I think ownership's going to wind up being really condensed on Minnesota and maybe Philadelphia. Sandoval just, you know, the control's not really there consistently. It's a good lineup top to bottom. If you pay down, you can easily pay up for the Phillies full stack. And there are enough pay down options to make it happen. So I'm not expecting like overwhelming ownership on them, but they should be pretty up there. I'm kind of curious about the Braves on this one because they're facing Emerson Hancock, who's not bad, but he's also kind of one of the weaker. We're not playing Emerson Hancock today against them, for example. And I'm not sure anyone's really getting to them. It's a park downgrade and all that, but it's the Braves. They probably have the highest ceiling as a stack on the slate among any team. So it's kind of interesting getting them at low ownership if no one's playing them. And they project okay relative to everyone else on the slate. It's not like they're far worse. And, you know, they don't pop as values, but still Braves, you're playing for ceiling, not median projection.
But even when it comes to median projection, like we're talking about the context of a slate where the totals are low. So we talk about this in NBA, right? A lot. NBA DFS, you get these slates where there may be tons of like cheap value guys, like these 3K guys. And it's like, well, you can't play them all. I mean, you still need raw point. Like a guy at 3K in NBA that scores, you know, 22 fantasy points is like valuable. Yeah, sure. But you're not gonna play five of them and then leave like 10K in the table. I mean, you'll play an overpriced, you know, Kevin Durant in your lineup because you could play these three K guys and then just get raw. Like Kevin Durant's gonna have 55 fantasy points. Like you need raw points. At some point, and if the Braves put up a couple of runs, even if this could be a type of slate where the Braves put up six runs and they're the highest scoring team on the slate.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe these guys, like, you know, they're in the 5Ks, 6Ks, and Marcell Ozuna is sitting there with like 18 fantasy points, and Michael Harris is sitting there with 14 fantasy points, and Austin Riley has a solo shot for 14, and you're like, was the stack worth it at 5,500 and all these? And it's like, and then you look at the total slate and it's like, oh yeah, like no batter scored more than 20 fantasy points. So like having all of the guys that, you know, scored a bunch, as long as two cheap pitchers did, you know, well, you play Musgrove, Stripling or something. And all these, and a lot of these pitchers are scoring 15, 20 points anyway. That's why, like, I made a joke about the White Sox about, like, oh, yeah, well, the White Sox, they're a vomit stack, right? Look, you could play – I mean, you could full stack the White Sox against Bailey Ober and have enough money to play, like – you could play Fernando Tatis and Ronald Acuna in your line. Like, well, you could play, like, three expensive one-offs. The problem is that I – unless the White Sox go out and just destroy Ober, I don't care that Tommy Pham is 3,100, right?
Yeah.
Like, we take a look at some of the values here. It's like, well, Eloy's 3,800. It's like, yeah, but I mean,
what's it getting you?
What's it, right? What? Unless he outscores a ton of other people that are way more expensive, it's like I don't need the extra. I don't need the salary savings. Like, I feel like I shouldn't be making lineups that have like Michael Massey at second base at 2,700. But like, if you look from a median projection, like that's what lineups. That's what. If you used lineup HQ, it would want you to put together. And I'm just like, I just want to pay for good bats. And I think that I don't think I need Wheeler. But if you, who are you more scared of fading, Taylor, Wheeler or Sale?
I think I'm more scared of fading Sale just because he's cheaper and I think the matchup's a bit better. So yeah, I don't feel like Wheeler's a must at 11K on this slate.
But you also have to admit that Wheeler could pitch 100 pitches and, I mean, he could strike out 12 guys here. I mean, like I take a look because it comes back to raw points for me going, Sale has to be much more efficient, right? Because Sale typically is not going to pitch, you know, 100-plus pitches. But, I mean, they're both scary fades from a strikeout upside perspective. But I think – what you're saying is like Sale could easily have like a 9 strikeout, 5 inning game. And Wheeler could also easily have a 7 inning and only have 5 strikeouts. It's like Wheeler has these two guys could have 25 points each. But I think that there may be like 5 or 6 other pitchers on the slate that end up with close to 20 anyway. That, yeah, you'd maybe rather have Sale or Wheeler. But as long as you get your bats right, I think having the third and fourth highest owned pitcher in your lineup is is going to be perfectly fine, unless one of these guys, you know, unless Wheeler throws like a complete game shutout or, you know, something like that. That's not in, like, really in the cards for sale.
No. I think the chalky combination, according to our ownership, might be Wheeler and Ober, and Sale kind of coming in third there. Do you agree with that? Do you think the ownership's going to be as wide between Sale and Wheeler?
No, I think the popular combination is going to be Wheeler. I think people are going to just plug together Wheeler Sale because there's not a, like, yeah. I don't think people are going to be compelled to pay up for like a stack that has 3, 4, 5 K hitters in it because these totals are all low. I think people will have the attitude, the opposite attitude of, oh, there may not be that much offense, so why don't I just play 3K batters because, you know, what's the big deal? I don't think Acuña is going to kill me. I don't think Bryce Harper is going to kill me or anything. There's a low offense. Like, I think the opposite. I think if I'm going to take anyone, I want to take the guys that could go out and hit 3 home runs and completely separate me from the field on a day where there may not be that much offense. And it, you look stupid a lot of times paying up 6K for a guy that gets 3 points. But who are you going to try? I mean, you take a look at these lineups, right? I go here and I go, like, Michael Massey at second base is 2,700. And it's like, you look at the other second baseman on the slate and you go, I'd much rather, are there actually good second basemen? Like Xander Bogaerts. Like, I'd much rather, it's like, well, why are you spending 4,500 for Xander Bogaerts versus like garbage second base punt guy? It's like, well, on a day where no second baseman scores well, garbage second base punt guy is fine. But what second baseman could actually score a whole bunch of points? Well, I'd rather, if everyone's going to try to go punting at second base, I'll try to find the guy that could give me 20 plus points at second base because everyone has to play a second baseman. Right? Yeah. That's how I take a look at this stuff. And it's like, if people are going to be playing these, like if they're going to be playing, you know, Tommy Pham and Michael Massey is one-offs, is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa in a second base spot, it's like, to me, let me pay up and I'll try to get as many points in my pitching spots from these other guys than Wheeler and Sale. And based on these bad projections that I'm looking at, like, it's completely plausible to, because Wheeler and Sale may have like the 20 point like raw median, but Stripling, Musgrove, Bassett, Ober, Eflin, like all these guys are like 15 to 18. That's not that far behind. And they're considerably cheaper.
Yeah, it's like perceived safety of Wheeler and Sale, but, you know, things can go wrong for aces. It happens all the time in a one-game sample. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get a huge ownership gulf between Ozzie Albies and Michael Massey, for example, then just spend down a pitcher and pay up for Albies. And if Albies is 8% owned and hits 2 home runs, then it's going to be hard for anyone else to catch up to that at second base, especially. So I think I'm with you. I think paying down for at least one of the pitcher spots, maybe even both pitcher spots, like you could go Bassett, Ober, you could go Stripling, Bassett, something like that, Musgrove, Bassett. It's all viable.
Right. And all these are viable. That's exactly what I mean. It's like, they're all like, you don't have to play either Wheeler or Sale. And it, hey, you could play Wheeler and then also play Stripling at 6,200. I mean, that gives you, that's opened you enough that you could go out and splurge a bit on bats today. As far as the expensive bats, though, the one thing that I would maybe look to avoid a little bit is playing Phillies one-offs. I'm really not sure how popular the Phillies are going to, I mean, they're going to be chalky, but not so chalky. Like, to me, here's something that's clear to me. I mean, we got the Twins lineup that just, it came out. I just saw it on Twitter. It's a little bit different than the projected lineup, but I'll load it. I don't want to play like the middle of this Twins order as one-offs. Like, I feel right. like playing Edward Julien as a one-off at a weak second base position. Like, if Julien does well, it's more likely the Twins did well, and it's more likely that the Twins stack did well, and If you don't have the stack and you just have the one guy, it's less likely, right? It's less likely you're going to win because it's like, well, you needed that. Yeah, see, you're right. Sometimes there's that the team puts up eight runs and one guy has six RBIs, and it's like, oh, you only needed that guy. Like, that doesn't happen that often. Typically, it's this sport is correlated. If one guy does well, it's more likely that other guys do well. So to me, the Twins are the team where I feel like I either take five guys from the Twins or I take none of them.
Yeah. It does seem like the one team that's going to be very chalky. Like Julian, Kirilloff maybe, Buxton Correa. Projecting for a lot of ownership, Correa. Jeffers was going to. I don't think Vasquez is going to be overwhelming chalk as the nine hitter at catcher. No. But yeah, it's cheap overall. And if people do want to pay up for Sale and Wheeler together, getting to the Twins is the natural next step, I think. So yeah, it's definitely an only in stack team for me today. Five or nothing is viable. I guess I don't hate a three stack if your five stack is going to be pretty off the board. St. Louis, for example, a team we talked about already that looks decent. Cincinnati is also interesting. If Musgrove is going to be popular, I'm not certain he will be, just because it is a pretty deep slate on the pitching side. So it's not really a direct leverage thing, but it is a lineup with a lot of power, and Musgrove's not necessarily an overpowering starting pitcher to begin with.
Yeah, I have Musgrove's unders in props anyway.
Yeah.
So dealing with that. I mean, but in general, 90% of the time I have the unders on whatever. So like I got unders mostly in right. general. But like the Phillies, I don't think are going to be popular enough where like taking Kyle Schwarber is a one-off. Like it's like, oh, well, he's going to be in all these Philly stacks. It's like enough of them, but not like not super. And also like some of these are like total, like I almost feel like the Phillies are more likely to be the team where one guy has like 48 fantasy points and other guys have nothing than the Twins, right? Bryce Harper has three home runs. Trey Turner has two home runs, a stolen base, a triple or something. The Twins, I'm not exactly sure. I look at this lineup and I go, yeah, I mean, Byron Buxton's there, and I don't know the state of Byron Buxton these days.
Not what he used to be. I feel like people are less likely to one-off these lefty-lefty guys, too. Like, who's paying up for Schwarber or as lefty-left one-off? I just think people are still inclined to avoid that if they can. Yeah, I do think it's a pretty interesting spot. I guess Merrifield may or may not be in the lineup. I probably wouldn't play Merrifield by himself if he's going to be a popular individual target, second base outfield for 3K flat. Yeah, they're probably my number one stack if you factor in the ownership for the Twins. But it's not, again, it's not like I feel great about it.
I don't feel very convinced. Like it feels like I'm going through the slate going, I feel so much like more comfortable. Like here's like seven pitchers that I could play, right? And I could take all seven. And it's like, I don't care which two you give me. I'm fine with that. And then I go, do I have to play any batters today? Is that, can I just get like default points or something? Can I get just like an average and just have the field try to run me down? Cause even looking at the stack projections for the bat, like I'm sorting by like point per dollar, and you take a look at, you know, just the raw points. Let me just go with the early slate here. And like the difference between the lowest projected stack and the highest projected stack is not that dramatic. Even though it's like no one's looking to play the Angels against Wheeler, like the difference, like the A's against Priester, the White Sox against Ober, you go, how do you, Oakland and Chicago White Sox? Don't go, yuck, oh, how can I play that? It's like, dude, the Blue Jays as a stack only project for like three more median points higher than them. And you look at the Blue Jays and it's like, okay, they're underperforming, but you at least look at their lineup and go, okay, this, I don't feel like vomiting when I look at their lineup, but like, The Rays, like the Cardinals, 36 compared to the Twins at 39. Like the Twins aren't like the Twins. Yes, they have the highest point per dollar value for their raw projection, but it's not that dramatically much than some of these. Than other teams, the Padres. I mean, you can play the Padres. It's not that much different. I mean, everyone's kind of in this range. I mean, the most expensive teams are the Braves and the Phillies. And unless you double cheap at pitcher, it's harder to get to them. But if you don't want to double cheap at pitcher, I mean, you can play the Royals against Bassett. Like, is that awful? No.
No.
Right. That like, just like when you said before about playing the Rays against Colin Raya. Like, that's not awful.
But it like, doesn't but there's feel great, good. But yeah, like
good Taylor, right? It's like, oh, okay, I could do that. That's not awful. That's like, I could play the Brewers against Elfin. Like, that isn't out of the question. But
this is a really wide open slate.
Like, I could do that also. Yeah. Like, it just feels like you got the Twins, and then you got everyone else. And as long as you don't play the Twins and like Wheeler Sale Twins, like, you could practically close your eyes and pick like half the people on the slate. And like, that seems like a pretty decent lineup to me.
Yeah. The Tigers you mentioned, the Pirates against Stripling isn't the worst thing in the world. Seattle and the Angels are probably just the two teams that you don't need at all. Everyone else is firmly in play. And so it's like, usually with a wide net on pitching, you would probably have a condensed hitting pool, but doesn't really seem like the case on this slate. I feel like you can do really play anyone you want truly on this slate and be fine enough and hope for the best. Like you said, there's really no gap between the Twins and everybody else.
Well, there's a gap. It's just not as dramatic.
There's a
as
gap. It's just ownership. Like, yeah, it's not like the Braves and Coors or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like that two teams playing in Mexico City or something and with a 16.5 total and everything else is like garbage. Like, And also the Twins is chalk. We're not even talking about a team that's like when the Dodgers are chalky, it's like, oh, well, it's the Dodgers, it's the Braves, right? Like teams that, you know, these batters are good batters. The Twins, I mean, you take a look at the Twins lineup and it doesn't instill confidence in you. For two reasons. One, they're not all that good. And number two, you may only get two at bats from some of these lefties. Right? Mm-hmm. Julian, they keep in now. I mean, because he's like the best player on the team now. But like Kepler, Larnach, Keller, I mean, one, you know that one of these lefties is coming out. I mean, not all three of them because they don't have the bench depth for that. But one of them is, and you'll play them and be like, why is it the fifth inning? And I mean, they also take people out. I mean, dude, if they hit Flexen enough, I mean, the White Sox may have a lefty in by the fourth inning and you don't even get a second at bat.
I'm looking at the bat pinch hit risk in the standard projections. They're not at the very top just because there are a lot of gross hitters on this slate, but Larnach is up there. Who's the other one? Kirilloff is up there too. Like the lefties at the top of the lineup. You said Julian, not as likely, but still possible. Right.
And you got Kepler also.
Yeah.
Kepler's better than the other two.
I feel like Buxton's projection is kind of based on, I mean, it's obviously based on the long-term history. It's pretty high, but I guess in this matchup, I can get behind it.
There's also 4,400. So, I mean, like, right. there's a difference there. I mean, we see some of these guys' prices come down. I mean, I'm not used to seeing some of these Blue Jays at 4K, right? Where you're looking at, you know, Bo Bichette at 4,700 going, well, no one's playing him, right? And then Ellie De La Cruz is 6,400. You go, I don't know if anyone's playing him at that price, but those are the guys that, I mean, I feel like I really don't mind Stripling over lineups at all.
I feel like the projected ownership's pretty flat once you get past Wheeler on the pitching side, but I don't know if it'll actually be that way. I could just see it becoming pretty condensed between Wheeler, Sale, and Ober. And then you're not really getting too much of anybody else as a mega popular option. And then as a result, if everyone's playing Wheeler and Sale, then the Twins are going to be juiced a little bit more. And like, I don't know, there might be a case to just fade the Twins fully and hope for the best. If you're entering a lot of tournament lineups, I don't think that's the craziest thing in the world on a slate like this.
I think Taylor, if you're playing single, like I'm going to play like, you know, single entry, three max, smaller field stuff. I could easily just X out the Twins completely. Mm-hmm. Just go X out the Twins and then do whatever the hell I want at that point.
Someone like Julian could be like 40% owned in a single entry today. And if you get to zero, you're flying past almost half the field. So yeah, there's really zero clarity today. I feel like
that's why people tune in to us, right, Taylor? They tune in here in the morning for clarity, and we tell them
there
ain't any clarity. And you're probably going to lose anyway, right? So
yeah,
there shouldn't be clarity.
Go down swinging.
It's a good sentiment, especially on a slate like this, where the less clarity there is, it's not like, oh, we're sitting here going, nothing's clear. Like everyone else is sitting here going, there's nothing clear. So take advantage of the people that show up and think that there's something clear. Because they're going to be people building lineups for today's slate going, well, obviously you got to play Wheeler and the Twins. I mean, like that's so clear. It's like, I don't think it's as clear. Like, yes, that is the most probable, but not the most overwhelmingly probable. People may go in going, oh, it's clear you just play Chris Sale. And Chris Sale has had outings where he goes and he walks four guys in the first inning. I mean, we've seen this before. Right? These are not safe pitchers. There may be people that go, yeah, I got to play Bailey Ober against the White Sox. Free square. Really? I mean, Bailey Ober sometimes, I mean, gets killed. I mean, like, I don't care that it's the White Sox. And then some people may come in and go, oh, the Phillies, got to play them. Like, that's what we're doing here in DFS, especially in GPPs, is taking advantage of other people's biases. And just because from, you know, my perspective and your perspective, there's no clarity. That's the reason why we're pondering, like, where could we go that others aren't? And when they don't realize that the places we're going is not all that dramatically, that's why I look at the Cardinals. And I go, I don't think on any other slate, you take the Twins off the slate, people may go, yeah, you got to play the Cardinals against Maeda. Right? It's like, mm-hmm. But once you put the Twins with a 5.41 implied total on the slate, you go, well, you got to jam the Twins. Like, it's not that dramatic of a difference. I mean, we're not talking about that much.
Yeah. So
sometimes I don't like, sometimes I like the, I want to embrace the lack of clarity.
Right, because people just convince themselves that this is how it is. And especially in baseball, there's no such thing as safety. Let's not playing NBA where you have to play the 60% owned 3K point guard, for example. With this, there's really any way you can go. I'm getting, like I said, plenty of the Cardinals against Maeda, Tampa Bay against Ray, more Oakland A's than I expected to see against Priester. I assume those lineups are largely paying up for pitching because there's no reason to pay down. But I do think this is another slate where you're not crazy if you leave 2K on the board, just depending on what you're doing. Like, just because you pay down a pitching doesn't mean you absolutely have to pay all the way up for the Braves or all the way up for the Phillies on this slate. Like, you can pay down for Musgrove Bassett, and then you can play a mid-range stack. You know, I'm trying to think of an example. Cincinnati, kind of a mix of, did I say Musgrove against Cincinnati? Regardless, sentiment is you can pay down for pitching, leave salary on the table because, you know, spending all the salary cap is kind of arbitrary anyway in baseball. The salaries are not often indicative of how well someone will actually perform in this sport with wide ranges of outcomes and stuff. And, it looks like the Twins are popping in Sim Labs quite a bit right there.
I'm looking at Sim Labs with our current projected lineups and everything like that. So looking Sim Labs lineups, obviously Wheeler, Sale, Ober, then Eflin. Then not much of anything else, right? Not as much Stripling, not as much Bassett. I mean, Stripling more for the fact of, you know, low price. You may not need, right? It's not like Stripling's bad. It's just that Jamming in Cheaper Bats is here. And then we take a look at stacks and teams. Oakland. Oakland and Pittsburgh and Oakland. Look, the Cardinals are up here. So, I mean, I'm fine with, you know, Cardinals. Twins are obviously up here, but our Sim Labs, as of the lineups that are out right now, right? Not many Braves, right? Not much Braves. The Phillies aren't even on the list in the top 150. So Sim Labs seems to favor these spend up at pitching, Wheeler Sale lineups, and then good luck to you on the Oakland A's. I mean, like, right? I don't hate it, but that's the way to get different, right? If you're gonna play a Wheeler Sailor lineup, play you know this type of line, this lineup 2 out of 30. Play a Royals 5-man and an A's 3-man.
You might score 50 points today, and you could probably cash.
Do you feel comfortable playing a lineup like this, Taylor?
Yeah, absolutely. This is just a slate where you can do anything, seriously. Like, every single team is viable. Like I said, I'm not really getting to the Angels or the Mariners, the team Sale's facing. But everything else, like Oakland and Pittsburgh, have sub-4 totals, but that's not far below a team like the Brewers or the White Sox or the Tigers on this slate. The Reds and the Padres are also low and viable. Yeah, like, I don't know. Ross Stripling is not a guy we have to avoid at all costs. Neither is Quinn Priester. So, kind of just is what it is. I would gladly play a lineup like that today, and I'm sure I will.
Taylor, when you enter contests, I'm assuming you do so with a dummy line.
Yeah.
Right, so that'll answer Nathan Moser's question. If you could explain the easy way to edit the lineups after I reserve entries, I'm all ears. Let me tell you, I've been playing DFS for almost nine years now. I've never reserved an entry into a contest.
No, I haven't either. I think I just enter one and then enter that one into everything else. And
right. That's what I mean. But I mean, as far as never making a lineup, and then just going and clicking the reserve entry and then filling it out later. That is the solution, Nathan. Right? Because people have asked this so many times. I reserve entries, and then how do I edit every lineup like individual? Like, you can't, right? CSV you can.
Yeah.
But if you just make a lineup, just even if you don't want to think about it, and just go in and go pick two pitchers, pick eight batters, and just click on whatever you want. Save that lineup, and then take that lineup, and then you use that. You enter 20 times into that contest, 50 times into this, and one time into that, or whatever. Like, you can do whatever you want. In fact, if you want to organize it even better, make multiple dummy lineups, and have each dummy lineup represent something. So, like, what I would do in NFL is, well, I'm going to play cash games in NFL. Well, this lineup is for cash games. This lineup is for large field tournaments. These are my single entry lineups. And I have five. They're all dummy lineups, right? And I just signify it by, like, I change the defense, right? It's like, okay, the Buccaneers lineup, that's the cash line. And of course, you could tell because I have, like, you know, 180, you know, entries because of all the double ups and head-to-heads and everything. But that's how it suggests that you do it. You build a dummy lineup first, and then you enter it into whatever you feel like playing, instead of just reserving entries into contests. Because I know people have trouble editing stuff after that. I never have because I don't reserve.
Yeah, or just, you can CSV the entries yourself too. Just, you know, open up your Excel and copy your paste and all that after you've
done. Some people don't know what they're doing when it comes to that. They're CSV, what does that mean?
Crucial. It's a crucial skill in this game.
Taylor, are you going to be on anything today? Crunch Time, Grinders Live.
I have an NBA Prize Picks piece coming later, but that is the extent of my duty today.
Alan asks if does the wind matter in Chicago? I mean, to the people there, maybe. I mean, if we're going to the game, I guess wind exists. Not that I could. I mean, there's nothing in the weather report that matters that much. I mean, we're talking about the White Sox.
Yeah, 10 to 15 miles an hour out to left center. It's not the same as Wrigley, so it's not quite as dramatic out there. It's probably a boost to bats, but nothing extraordinary, sounds like.
Right. That would be something that you ask Kevin Roth, who should be coming up in a little bit, 12:30 Eastern, crunch time. They'll be breaking down this entire slate. And I think Cardi's going to be on. I don't know. A whole bunch of people will be on. They'll be on a little bit later, talking about the 1:10 p.m. Eastern slate. There's also another slate later tonight. We got a nice whole full day worth of baseball. We got Lineup HQ here. We got Sim Labs. We got all of our projections. We got obviously the bat projections here as well. And our tools. Go sign up for RotoGrinders Premium. Take advantage of it all. Click on the link in the description. We got some sale packages going on right now. 6 months of RotoGrinder Combo Premium. You get $250 off. Or you could get $40 off your first month, or you could just try it out for $19.99 for 3 days. So all the details are in the description. That's right. Beautiful day for baseball. Hit that thumbs up button on your way out the door. Hit the notification bell to always know when I go live. Tomorrow, there's no RotoGrinders Today show, but there is an Early Grinders Live show, which means you still get to see me. So the Dean will be on. I'll be on. We got some day baseball. Then on Friday, I'll have Squirrel Patrol on for the UFC pay-per-view card. We're talking about MMA then. Taylor, I'll probably see you again next week.
Yes, sir.
And today doesn't matter because we're both probably going to lose, right? We're probably going to lose anyway.
So stacking the A's, so nowhere to go but down.
Stacking the A's, fading the Twins, fading Wheeler, stacking the A's. You're probably going to lose anyway. Why not go down in a blaze of glory? Then exactly. Go down with the shock.
Right. Because then what's that getting you? Just at least try. At least try to get first place. Probably won't get it.
Try.
That's the game.
Okie doke. I'll see you guys tomorrow talking about all things you're thinking about in Daily Fantasy. Props and pick 'em. On Roto Grinders. Today.